Oh, good morning. Welcome to the Gunsmith Show here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock and the Gunsmith Show.
Woohoo!
Gunsmith, he's in the chair. He's ready to go. He's got your weather report. You know, this first segment, John, well, it fits because you're talking about when to shoot, and it's been awful cold to go out there and you know, shoot at animals.
Well, it's hard to shoot when your finger's frozen,
right.
Yet, you know,
a little better today.
Fingers are blue. It's going to be a little better, yeah, but man, the other morning it was like zero.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. I felt bad for the deer. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now, but we're looking at 20 degrees this morning and maybe up to close to 30 this afternoon. So, and there's no football for us to really concern ourselves
with
this weekend.
Got the weekend off.
We can hunt all weekend long.
There you go.
Because deer season actually ends like tomorrow, the late doe season.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then there's the extended season, right?
No, this is the extended
season. Oh, and it's end. So it is.
Yeah.
So it's all
this
over.
This is it. And as far as I know, unless they just extend it. But I'm seeing less and less deer. Mm. I'm going out, I'm seeing deer, but I'm not seeing deer in the woods where I normally hunt.
Mm.
I'm seeing coyotes, but I haven't been able to get any shots. They're
Is it
quick.
Coyote season?
Yes, it's almost always coyote season.
That's
just
right.
A few months of the year they shut it down now, stupidly.
Okay.
But did I say that out loud? Anyways, well, they do. But this is the time. It's time to finish filling those freezers. If you got a chance to get deer, this is the time to get them. So we highly recommend that you do so. So last week, Dano, in my Gunsmith Show Requiem, we went to a free class at Williams Gunsight. And I didn't know it was a free class. Yeah, it's a free class. And I hinted about it that, you know, I need to exactly figure out how I'm going to go about talking about this. But the class was called When to Shoot. And very important class. And I hour and a half of good discussion, about 40 of us in the room. Everybody brought up good pump points. You know, it's like, there's always somebody that says something kind of off the wall, you know, but it was a good class. But we all learned a lot.
If I'd been there, that would have been me.
It would have been you being the sarcastic one of the bunch. But there was others that were so serious that I wouldn't say there was foil hat wearers in the group, but, you know, there's always somebody that's a little on the fringe, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they were good, and I'm not calling anybody out. It was a good time, and When to Shoot at Williams Gunsight. It was put on by the USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association. So, like just about everything good that you get for free, there's something attached to it. But it was enjoyable. And the attachment was trying to get you to join USCCA, you know, and join in with their legal defense that protects you if you, you know, you did everything right, but you're still arrested. They're there to protect you. And they'll even reimburse you for your gun and stuff because it's going to be confiscated. They'll reimburse you for your lost wages. They really do a pretty good job. So
even if you're not arrested at first, I mean, think of that interview with Daniel Penny. Is it the guy from the subway?
From the subway. Yeah.
You know, he went in and just talked to the police officers.
Yeah, but
he didn't have any idea. You know that he was. He just told them what happened, and then was arrested later after the
prosecutor just went nuts on him. Yep. So. So what this class was, it was very informative. It was designed to tease your mind to think beyond the act of defending your life. Okay, so once you get past that point, defending your life or someone else's, but the realization of not using deadly force to protect your belongings is something that didn't want to set in with the crowd. They thought that they could defend like their car or their dog in the yard, or their barn, their pole barn. And boy, there were some real eye-openers in that class. So the realization is you can't. You can ask them to leave, call 911 for sure, but you cannot use deadly force to protect your dog. You cannot use deadly force to protect your belongings. The difference is when they cross the threshold into a domicile that you live in or sleep in. Do you sleep in that garage? Do you sleep in that pole barn? Do you sleep in that car? Well, some people would answer yes to that, you know, especially if you're on a trip or something and somebody's trying to break into your car, that might be a different situation. But all those things are scenarios. And we talk about, even on Facebook past couple of days, I've been talking about scenario training and running yourself through those mindsets of how to properly go about protecting yourself, protecting yourself, your loved ones. You know, like if somebody's grabbing your kid, that's not a belonging, That's when, you know, you can use deadly force if you have to. But using deadly force is a tough thing. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't ever plan on being one. But belongings are things that, and animals are things that cannot be, just cannot be.
You can't open fire.
Yeah, you
can't. But if you confront somebody and you say, hey, you got to get out of here.
Right.
And they become threatening. At that point, then.
If they become threatening or advance towards you, that's different.
Stand your ground is still
pretty much good. This is a state that is called a. Here's the main thing. I'll get to that in a second because that's in my next notes. But because I've got little highlights I want to go through. The main thing in Michigan is you have to avoid, if you can, at all costs. If at all possible, you have to avoid. You have to retreat. And I was taught this years ago by Flint Township Police back when we did all that neighborhood watch stuff. And it just offended me. It hurt my feelings that these police officers that I know and trust were telling me, you have to retreat. If somebody's breaking into your house and you're not able to or willing to protect yourself, you need to escape the house to get out of it. So it's kind of nuts. Doesn't sound American to me. You know, it sounds more like communist China or something. But although we live in a no-retreat state, you're still supposed to try to avoid it if at all possible. So important rules of engagement like, and this was another real good one that brought a lot of conversation up, shoot till the threat is stopped. But then don't just keep shooting, okay? And then the add on to that is, or your fear has stopped. So if you don't feel in fear for your life anymore, stop shooting. You've done your job. You've done what you had to do. And here's a very important one. Do not continue to shoot if the bad guys are retreating. If they're running away, don't shoot them in the back. That means criminal negligence on you hurting them because they've given up the fight. It was never meant to be a fight to the death. You know, it used to be, we used to get trained in this years ago that make sure there's only one story to tell, yours. You know, that was basically what they taught us in the classes 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And and know where your bullets are going, which we always strongly recommend on this show. We always say, know where your bullets are going. You own it from the moment you pull the trigger. But just the past couple months, there was a very important shooting that happened. It was a self-defense shooting. The young man that did the firing, bullets actually went through the bad guy and hit two other people. And the shooter was not found criminally negligent because he was doing his job to stop the person trying to kill him. So he was not negligent in any way doing what he did, although he's probably got psychological problems because of it, because nobody wants to shoot anybody, you know.
Who are the other people that were hit?
They were local bystanders. Mm-hmm. They were local bystanders. Unfortunately.
So this was not at the house. This was out.
This was on the street. This was a defense situation on the street, and there was people standing behind this guy, mm-hmm. Very interesting, though, how this stuff transpires. And every one of them's a story. The NRA is starting to come out with some really good stories like this, too. They're, true life things that have just happened in the past couple of weeks. And we'll probably bring some up next week, too, because these are good things to practice. Because there's a ton of us out there that have CPLs and we carry on a regular basis. And we need to be mindful of these things because it's life-changing. It's life-changing for the person you shoot. It's life-changing for you. You're never going to be the same. And just remember, even trespassing is not defendable with force. You can only ask them to leave. Call the police if you're feeling unsafe. So lastly, and this was a very important note from this, and I strongly recommend that you take it for yourself. The more times you hear this, the better off it'll be. So take this free class at Williams when it comes up again. There's one coming up, I think, on the 17th of January. So it's just next Friday. Lastly, start documenting all your training. I thought this was brilliant. Keep a diary or a logbook, you know, and write down every time you do training, even going to these classes. Mm-hmm. It's very good that every time you go to the range range to shoot, write it down. Every class you take, keep a diary or a planner just for these things and write them down, document it. It might help your defense later in life. Well, he's just Joe Blow. He's not anything special. No, this guy seriously trained. He knew what to do, and he took the classes, and he did the right thing. So that's a very important item, and I've never been told that before in a class. Never. Because even our soon-to-be former President Biden has emphasized a couple of points like that, where pushing the ATF to be more in kind of attack mode, where if you keep a ledger for anything regarding guns, that means you're in the business of that. It means you should have an FFL. You know, if you're selling, buying, selling, trading, shooting, whatever it is, it sounds more like a business than it is your hobby. But we all have hobbies. You know, mine isn't throwing darts at the bar. Mine isn't watching football games unless it's the Lions winning. And mine is shooting and practicing, you know, so that's what I enjoy. I always have. So then the last thing I really gathered from it was seriously practice your situational training. Think through things. And one of the things you get when you join the USCCA is a practice handgun. So it's a plastic full-size handgun so that you can do scenario training, not with a real gun in your house, so that, you know, and everybody knows it's bright yellow. It's the color of a yellow marker. And but it's a full-size gun. It feels good in the hand. Feels just like a Glock. And so it's very a familiar feeling to a lot of people. So when you pull this thing out, it feels like you've got a real gun in your hand. It's not heavy, heavy, but it's weighted. And but practicing that situational awareness.
Where it's stored, getting it out, getting to the gun.
Yeah,
all getting, that sort
even putting in your holster and drawing it, you know, so that you can practice that. Knowing, I wonder if this coat's going to be in the way if I got to try to get to my gun. And sure enough, you know, a lot of times it is. But
because when you need it, if you're in a situation where you need it, you've got to be able to.
Yeah, and it only takes a couple seconds.
Quickly.
If somebody's within 21 feet of you, it only takes like 2 seconds and they can stab you with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
So these are important things to remember. So that's why when people carry their guns unloaded, you don't have time to load them.
Right.
You really don't. And what kills me is I see people walking into parking lots all the time staring at their cell phone, not any situational awareness, not seeing who's standing near their car or if there's two guys hiding behind their car. You know, I didn't grow
walking
up
walking
like
out into the street, you know.
Oh, bam, getting hit, walking into manholes, walking
right.
into road signs.
Yeah.
People walk into stuff all the time because they're staring at their phones all the time.
Yep.
So we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it. We want to be good, responsible gun owners, okay, and protect ourselves, right?
It's the Gunsmith Show right here on US 103. You are right, and we're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Thanks, buddy.